Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, well, the great part about having John Jackson, the Joker from X, down here with us at the SHOT Show in Vegas is not only do we get to catch up with some great guests, whether it's folks in the gun and outdoor gear sector, but, you know, we also get to catch up with some of the who's who in politics as well. But with John here, then we can also, you know, fill in some of the gaps with the big news of the day stuff, just like we would be talking about if we were back in studio, back home in Montana. John, it seems like the big story of the day that everybody's kind of chatting about and yapping about is President Trump came out and he said, I'm going to release all the files. It's all getting unclassified. MLK, RFK, JFK, I think one of our friends here just said 15 days is when that all should start coming out.
Yeah, that's the RFK, MLK, JFK files. And I think an order that hopefully is a part of that is we don't want to see redactions, because in the past, when they release these files, the redaction process makes it an absolute joke. You'll see page after page after page of three quarters of the page is redacted in black. And that's just going to keep the conspiracy theorists going. I hope that the whole thing, you see the entirety of these files. I mean, come on. Like, say the JFK, RFK files, you're going back. And MLK, too, you're going back to the 60s, man. I mean, nobody is having a problem with that today. All of those people are gone. Release all of it.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, so, I think it's going to be interesting, but I'm also kind of like, yeah, I think it's going to be, again, like the UFO files again here, where everybody gets all whipped up into frenzy. Everybody loves to talk about this stuff. They love to make movies about this stuff, but I just wonder if it's going to be another one of those, once it actually drops, it's kind of like, okay, did we learn much new? I just think, man, as somebody who wasn't around back then during that era, it's just, what a tragedy that we lost somebody like a JFK, but we got stuck with somebody like an LBJ. I actually had a great conversation, a doctor who's black, and his parents were real big in the Democrat Party back in those days. I mean, they were at JFK's inauguration. They were at the inaugural balls, and his parents ended up becoming Republicans because his mom met LBJ and just said the guy was the worst racist ever. They just want to use black people as pawns, and so she said, no way, I'm out of that party. She saw back then exactly what I think more and more black Americans are fully seeing today, which is why so many voted for Donald J. Trump.
I saw a comment, I believe it was by Ezra Cohen, you know, if you know who he is, he's a big social media guy, and he flat out said, I have reviewed the JFK files, and I think this is going to be very, very underwhelming. It's not going to reveal any kind of major conspiracy or any kind of secrets that we don't already know about.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got a great guest coming up here right after the break. We're going to be talking social media. Look at how big tech likes to discriminate against John, the Joker, against me, suppressing our content. And so even with, you know, Zuckerberg apparently doing this about face, we're all skeptical of that.
Yeah, I'll wait till I see it.
So how do we get around big tech? We'll talk about that more next.
Look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. It's got to remain cloudy across the area today. We'll see some areas of light snow and flurry activity up around an inch possible in the Billings area, up to 2 to 3 for some of the totals towards Bozeman. High temperature readings of from the mid-20s in Bozeman, 33 in Billings. Tonight, scattered snow showers possible, mainly early. Low temperatures ranging from around 5 to 10 above. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Foligno.
That's the trouble with us.
Coming off his performance at President Trump's inauguration festivities, country star Jason Aldean has announced his full-throttle North American tour, kicking off May 23rd at the Blossom Music Center in Ohio. Aldean announced the tour at opening acts on Fox and Friends.
We got Nate Smith, Ray Lynn, DJ Silver, who's always out with us, and just looking forward to another great year.
The tour features a co-headlining stadium show already announced with Brooks and Dunn, General. Ticket sales begin Friday. Luke Combs, Pearl Jam, Casey Musgraves, Dave Matthews Band, Lil Wayne, The Roots, and more will headline this year's New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, which runs from April 24th through May 4th. The two-weekend event, which features a mix of genres of music and New Orleans cuisine, will also see John Fogerty and dozens more. Tickets on sale now through Jazz Fest's website. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. So we asked kids, what do you want your parents to hear?
I feel sometimes that I'm not listened to. I would just want you to listen to me more often and evaluate situations with me and lead me towards success.
Listening is a form of love. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, this was a question that I actually ended up throwing to our newly elected U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy. It just randomly came up, you know, because Zuckerberg and all these guys were at President Trump's inauguration. So Tuesday when I'm on Capitol Hill, I said, do you know, is this a real conversion that we're seeing here? Or are these just guys just trying to bide their time with Trump, just trying to keep the feds off their back because of all the corruption that we've seen in big tech in the last few years? And yeah, I'm highly skeptical. I do think Zuckerberg wants to be one of the cool kids. When I saw him here in Vegas at UFC 300 last spring, and here he is with Dana White. Like, I think these guys are working on him. They're working to turn him. They're working to convert him. I did get the sense, you know, here he is. He's got Chris Pratt there. He's got Dana White and Ollie Joe Rogan. And I'm like, man, Zuckerberg wants to be one of the cool kids. So, but I'm still very highly skeptical, John, because we've seen the way big tech, they want to suppress, folks who support the Second Amendment, folks who support gun rights. They want to suppress conservative content. That's why, like, you know, even if they're not trying to suppress you, Facebook doesn't give you a ton of interaction. You know, we certainly don't reach the people that we're going to reach here on the radio this morning.
I'll believe it when I see it. And right now, I tell you flat out, I do not believe it. He is in there trying to buy his way out of getting investigated for what he did in the 2020 election and also all of his suppression of conservatives, period. And you know what? Like what happens on Twitter, same thing as let's say Zuckerberg has a conversion like, you know, Elon did. But see, still, everybody that works all the way from, you know, every other floor all the way down to the basement for that company are all a bunch of left-wing loons.
And they're the ones that run the place. He's surrounded by wackos. I mean, the guy who's his communications director, who has been for years, was interfering in Montana elections using Facebook to do so. He was a former communications guy for Barbara Boxer, if you remember her from California. So, yeah, highly skeptical. That's why we got to continue to support alternative social media platforms, and we got to keep the pressure on because we can't just sit back and say, oh, don't worry about TikTok, oh, don't worry about Facebook anymore or whatever. Steven Guzman is with a social media platform that's basically in the works right now. My Second. Tell us about, Stephen, great to see you. Tell us about what you're up to, and this is all in the works right now, as I understand it.
That's correct. We're starting with our beta testing, and we're under development. So my user journey started, and I picked up the gun hobby in COVID, and I went through a process. It was video after video, searching the internet, you know, kind of a huge fragmented marketplace, and it gave me an idea, and I'm like, this needs a place for everyone to go. And so I started that process.
So if you want to find gun videos, training videos, how-to videos, what anything gun related, YouTube tries to suppress that. Facebook suppresses that. So you want to go talk about suppressors. How can you go to a place where that type of information is not being suppressed? So you want to build like what a particular social media almost channel focused on just that type of, you know, gun videos?
That's right. So we're going to start with social video. We're going to roll that out at NRA, and then later in the year we're going to create our e-commerce platform. Now my job is to support the industry, not become their competitor or put anyone out of business. I really love the industry, and all the people I spoke to are all family businesses. That's the whole industry. And I want to keep them alive and not put anyone out of business. Absolutely help them.
So what can people do right now, or who are you trying to get your message out to right now?
So right now we're taking a wait list, and so we have the website up. You can go to my2nd.com. So it's not spelled out. So mysecond.com. You can be a wait list holder. You can receive information and updates. Then we'll send out, hey, you can acquire your handle, and you can start the process and join us and support our rights.
So if you're a guy who owns a gun business, or you're a social media influencer that especially wants to, target, the gun crowd in particular, get on this wait list, and then you can start to get your channel ready to go. Kind of almost like when True Social launched, but even before they launched, people were able to start kind of getting signed up, getting in the queue for that.
Absolutely. I mean, it takes time. Rome wasn't built in a day, nor will this platform just open up and be on fire the next day. So it's one brick at a time. We want to test out the market, see what works. I really care about what the users say. I mean, I didn't see other big tech coming to you guys or everyone in the manufacturing industry and say, how can we help you grow your business? So that's a big focus. And then educating, creating a safe space where you can discuss, talk, share all about firearms. And then we'll have a bigger ecosystem of outdoor lifestyle.
Yeah, John, you're kind of our social media maven around here because you got over 100,000 followers on X, which for Montana, that's massive. That is a massive following, because a lot of people in Montana, if they get a few thousand followers on something like X, unless you're an elected official where they can artificially prop up some of those numbers or kind of pay to boost their profile through communication channels. But most Montanans, if you get a few thousand, that's a big following.
Yeah, and been following this for 8 years, and I'm telling you, it is so frustrating to be out there in the social media zone and see it with your own eyes how you get suppressed. And I'm telling you, even today, under Elon Musk and Twitter, he's still got Linda Yaccarino and all those people underneath him that actively throttle you. And that algorithm is designed to take certain content and promote it and take other content and dunk it, right? And think about this. They've told you for 8 years, the entire system, that their three pillars are immigration, climate change, and censorship. I mean, this is worldwide, folks, those three pillars.
Yeah, so Stephen Guzman with my second social media platform, my2nd.com. Thanks for joining us here on Montana Talks. Great to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Keep us posted as you develop this as well. We want to hear more about it, especially when you launch at NRA and elsewhere.
Absolutely, and you guys always have a home.
Awesome. I appreciate it. All right, stand by.
Thank you.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
If you're in the forecasting business and you know one of the time-tested ways to recover from making a forecast that turns out to be wrong, make another one. That applies to the weather as well as the stock market, and especially to the economy. Higher interest rates and worsening consumer credit has caused us to predict slowdowns for at least 2 years that didn't materialize. Will this year be any different? Consider the rapid growth that's been unfolding in the two fastest-growing parts of Montana, Flathead and Gallatin counties. The reasons vary, but these high-amenity parts of the state have added jobs and population at a blistering clip in last few years. Gallatin County added more jobs, 18,000, since 2020 than exist in total in Butte Silverbow. Now Standard & Poor's, the forecaster used by state government, says the party is ending. Job growth in both Flathead and Gallatin counties will fall to just 1% in 2026 after four straight years of actual job growth of excess of 4%. Will it happen? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Fox on Football. I'm Jared Max. Three games left in the NFL season. We're up to the conference championships before a two-week break ahead of Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans, February 9th on Fox TV. The NFC championship game between the Eagles and Commanders in Philadelphia, Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern time on Fox. The NFC East rivals split their regular season series. The Eagles beat the Commanders in mid-November, but when they met for the second time in Landover, Maryland, Week 16, the Commanders came back from 14-0 down behind five touchdown passes from rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels to snap Philadelphia's 10-game win streak. The Eagles are a near touchdown favorite in Sunday's game. Whoever wins will face the winner of Sunday night's AFC Championship in Kansas City between the Chiefs and Bills. Buffalo ended KC's perfect season after a 9-0 start when the Bills beat the Chiefs in mid-November in Western New York. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes has a 3-0 record in playoff games against Bills quarterback Josh Allen. Jared Max, Fox News.
after 30.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Rick Rollins, President Trump's nominee to lead the USDA, participated in her confirmation hearing in front of the Senate Ag Committee yesterday.
First, we must ensure that the disaster and economic assistance authorized by Congress is deployed as quickly and as efficiently as possible. Second, we must work with the great men and women of USDA, the stakeholder communities, and state leaders, my deep background in state policy, to immediately and comprehensively get a handle on the state of animal disease outbreaks. Third, we must immediately begin to modernize, realign, rethink the United States Department of Agriculture, responding to the clear needs and the desires of the American people. We understand that serving all American agriculture and all the American people means ensuring that our rural communities are equipped and supported to prosper not just today, but tomorrow and the day after that and the many tomorrows to come. This includes exploring improvements to our rural development programs, demanding strong and steady domestic and export markets for our beautiful agriculture bounty, eliminating burdensome and costly regulations that hamper innovation, ensuring our nutrition programs are effective and efficient, and putting in the work to make sure we have a healthy and prepared next generation of farmers, ranchers, entrepreneurs, innovators, and indeed, all Americans.
She also stressed the importance of passing a farm bill soon. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right, John Jackson, this is so cool. So I was telling you, you know, when we kicked off the show earlier this time, man, it's so great. You come all the way down to Las Vegas for something like this SHOT Show. Great, you know, military, law enforcement, gun guys, outdoor gear folks from all over the world, frankly, but a lot of Montanans that are down here. But then, man, you come down here and you catch up with people you haven't seen in years. And you hear that from everybody. You know, they're running into guys they served with. Next hour, we're going to chat with my friend Travis Taylor. We wrestled back in the late 80s together on the High Line. He's got a very successful business that's based out of Whitefish, Montana. So it's fun catching up with him, for example. But, yeah, last night, got to have a cigar out on the casino floor here at the Venetian with a guy I haven't seen since we got back from Afghanistan. I got to go to Afghanistan with this incredible team of guys from here in Nevada. It was an embedded training team that I got to fill a slot with, and these guys were just incredible. And so anyway, that's one of the guys we're going to catch up with here in just a second. So, but yeah, man, we were telling stories and just, you know, just having incredible conversations. It was just an incredible time.
Yeah, I was talking to him just now. It's great. I mean, 31 years in law enforcement, great to swap stories out with a guy that's been on that long. And I'm telling you, there's very, very few guys out there that have done 30 plus. I mean, what do you think? Maybe 5, 10%? I mean, it's not that many.
I remember when I was a young officer, our sheriff had come out, and he was congratulating an officer with 25 years. And he said, to ask somebody to do 20 years and retire is one thing. Stay 25, 30 years, it was enough for the head of a 3,500 office or agency to come out and shake his hand. So I think 30 years, you said?
Yes.
I think that's a long time, and there's probably not a lot of us out there.
Oh, yes, not too many. That's a great line from Robert Redford. He was talking about military guys, and he was talking about a friend of his, and he said, yeah, he did 30 years. The guy says, well, is he a good man? He said, he did 30 years. He's a good man.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I'll tell you what, this guy is a character. I'm so glad you two get to meet because, like, if you got to spend some time BSing here with John Jackson, flip that microphone up just a little bit more. There we go. You know, this guy's a joker. I think I was telling you yesterday, I said, man, we were at a SHOT Show the first time John came and sidekicked with me, and we had like a stack of water bottles behind us. It was like we were in a Humvee in Iraq or something here, smoking and joking all morning long. And you were just one of those funny guys, just one of those characters. But so we're talking now, John Woosnam. And I knew him at the time as Major John Woosnam. You know, here you got a guy who was a Las Vegas PD and then also a National Guard guy in the CAV unit here in Nevada. And just a character. But now he's got intelligentpolice.com. That's your website? Or is that what you're underneath?
Yes, that's my website, intelligentpolice.com, and the company's called Intelligent Police Solutions. And as I got close to retirement, I realized that with 30-some years of experience, if we don't share that, if we don't pass that along, it's wasted. And I'm doing a disservice to the officers I worked with who are still working, and I still live in this community. My children go to school here. I'm a part of this. So I really have a vested interest in making sure that our officers, not just here in Las Vegas, that's where I'm based, but I've done classes in Arizona, Colorado. I've been fortunate throughout my career to do some amazing things, and I'm just trying to pay back the community, the law enforcement partners, by passing on some of my knowledge.
Yeah, he's got a great sticker here that welcome to Fabulous Intelligent Police Solutions, training and consulting, and then intelligentpolice.com poker chip here as well. So I got to give a plug, too, to your whole team from Nevada and then the support network we had. We had people sending us coffee. So when I deployed with these guys, you know, you get your official gear and your official kit. Well, these guys are like police officers, highway patrol troopers, they're CAVs. So they said, okay, this official kit ain't just going to cut it. So we had Spalding was his name. He took, like, if you come to the SHOT Show and you put together the best of stuff to build your kit bag, he built a kit bag for us that we all got, each of us got. And so we had, you know, a big CRKT knife, and we had just all sorts of stuff. And so it was just such an incredible team of guys back then. But John Wisdom, he was also, like, one of the jokers for the team. Just always funny insight, you know. And I think I was telling you, I ran into Matt Best, you know, the Black Rifle Coffee Company. Everybody knows him from the crazy videos, and you and I were kind of talking yesterday. You know, I'm sure Matt Best was a funny guy anyway, like before he joined the military and did all of his crazy special operations stuff, but all the crazy wacky people you serve with and then the hard times you go through, eventually you just got to laugh your way through it. Now, I don't know if he would have been as funny if he didn't spend time in the military.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, you think about, you mentioned hard times. You think about these life-threatening times, not just military, but you were with DEA. It shapes you. You have to be resilient. You have to develop a sense of humor. And if you don't, it's going to eat away at you. And a guy like Matt Best, I can't say I know him, but I brushed against him once at a SHOT Show a few years ago, and he was still a very down-to-earth guy. And I think that's another thing that you take away from public service, whether it's military, law enforcement, firefighters, EMTs. You deal with the public all the time, so you never really get to a point where you're better than or more important than anybody else.
So, John, you know, you're usually good with the music references and the movie references. Did you ever hear these guys, what were they, New Zealand or something like that? I think they were the Flight of the Conchords. Did you ever hear their music at all, the Flight of the Conchords?
No.
So I had never heard of them either. And here we have, I'm part of this embedded training team out of Montana. I joined these guys from Nevada out of Montana. They had a slot open. I was like, okay, let's do it. And so you know, great team. We go through Fort Riley, Kansas, doing some good training, actually. It was really good train up. And then we think, okay, we're going to go be a team over in Afghanistan. And then they split us 15 different directions. So I was down at Cop Wilderness. He was further north up in Shamkani. But they were team business time. Yeah, have you ever heard of Business Time? Have you heard this song before, John?
No.
Okay, let me just play a little bit for you here. Let me go. Now John Woosnam here could probably just sing it for us here, but let me just give you a taste of, you know, Business Time. Let me see if I got it queued up right.
Next thing you know, I'm down to just my socks. And you know when I'm down to just my socks, what time it is. It's time for business. It's business time.
It's business time.
You know when I'm down to just my socks, it's time for business. That's why they call it business socks.
It's business.
You gotta do the Trump dance to this one now, you know, with the arms and everything, but yeah. It's business time, they business socks, you know. And then my favorite line, too, is when he's like, you know, and you're wearing your favorite T-shirt that you got at that team-building exercise.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many con ops team business time was printed on before somebody caught on and said, that is not your team name.
Isn't yeah. that the best to be able to sneak one past the brass? You know, we used to do that all the time. I love that.
So, team business time, man, I just remember seeing it. It's business time, you know, and of course your team loved it. But it's just funny how a little something like that can bring people together.
It's camaraderie. It's about telling your guys, we're just not a random group of guys that was brought together. We are a team, and we discussed it, and we talked about what we were going to call the team, and And every time we went out on a mission, we'd get our radio checks, and then I would say, okay, you know, BT-6, it's time to roll. It's business time. And we'd head out the gate.
Oh, man. Yeah, just some great characters, though. If you had to summarize what you've learned in your military time or your law enforcement time, I mean, microphone's yours here.
Aaron, that is a great question, and I was actually thinking about that this morning. The one thing I took away from my military experience was the type of leadership that we develop in the Army that I think is lacking in the rest of the, I don't want to say the rest of the country, but for the most part, you know, we look at things like management. We look at, you know, we want to see, you know, a metric for this and measure it and productivity. But on the civilian side, we don't have that obligation to look after the people who work for us or who we supervise. And that's something we got from the Army. You know, you went to some remote places, dangerous places, and lives were in your hands. Not just when they were out there working on a mission, but every moment that they were there, they were your responsibility. And I think our bosses, our supervisors need to look at that and say, they don't work for me. I work for them. You know, it's a symbiotic relationship. Like if as a commander, if I was doing my job perfectly, but my soldiers weren't doing theirs, we would fail, and vice versa. So we have this relationship.
Yeah. Well, and John Jackson too, you know, we were talking a little bit yesterday, and John Woosnam here had a great point. It was like, you know, even if he didn't get along with every guy, or he didn't like this guy, didn't like, you knew that he was going to do everything he could to help you be successful at your job. That's just, it's just what you did. It's just what you do. All right, we got to take a quick break here. We'll talk more here live from the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. Back right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
John Jackson, this is so cool because, you know, you could grab a ton of people here at the SHOT Show, law enforcement background, military background, have a great conversation talking about policing and law enforcement, security issues or whatever. But to be able to have that conversation along with somebody that you served with and you deployed with that you haven't seen in years makes it even better. So that's part of the fun of being down here at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas and seeing people like John Woosnam down here.
Well, you talked about the humor a minute ago and injecting the ability to have fun while you're doing these very, very dangerous, very high-stress jobs. And that's my avatar on Twitter is Private Joker.
Right? That's right.
And if you remember in Full Metal Jacket, the guy was the commander was right in the middle of telling everybody, you know, they've taken siege of Khe Sanh, you know, tell them how bad and how terrible everything is. And Private Joker said, does that mean Anne Margaret's not coming?
You
got to have those people that can throw humor into stuff and, you know, throw a little levity, have some fun. Don't just be just gripping like this so serious all the time, you know?
Oh, man, you had to have some humor. We were, you know, joking around a little bit, telling stories, and also just like, you know, just like, oh, my goodness, talking about Afghanistan and some serious conversations, too. But it was like, you know, it was funny. You had a story, and then I had a story. It was like, it's like, okay, so here we are, you know, we're driving back down this mountain pass, which was kind of crazy, but it was probably when it was, I can't remember if it was snowy that time or not, but, you know, it would get muddy and slippery, and you're like, oh, man, are we going to go rolling off the side of this mountain? And we come across an IED. Thankfully, we found the IED before it found us, but then we call it up to hire. Well, then we got to wait for EOD to come out and clear it. We literally, I think it was 24 hours, but we're sitting there all overnight, just out in the middle of this freaking gigantic, you know, creek bed, basically, just sitting there like sitting ducks, waiting for EOD to come. And in the middle of the night, while we're out there sitting on an IED, hey, where's your spreadsheet on blah, blah, blah? We really need that spreadsheet. Guys, look at the screen. Do you not see where we're at? We'll get you the spreadsheet when we get back to our stinking little bee hut. I mean, for Pete's sake. You know.
Well, if you had done your spreadsheet on time, that IED might not have been
there. Right. Yeah. That's right.
The spreadsheets win wars.
Yeah.
I think that's well known.
Get the M60 on that thing, man. Okay. No more IED.
Well, that's true. And then you lose the evidence and everything and potentially, you know, But I know, you know, you had similar deals too where you and you guys are stuck out there. But then, man, you buy a goat from the villagers, you know, barbecue some goat and meet with the locals. And that's, you just do what you got to do.
And, you know, I was not Special Forces. I want to put that out there. I wasn't even close to Special Forces. I'm closer to Special K than Special Forces. But we did live on their base. And one of the things they did was embed themselves with the locals in a way that their success meant the success of the village. We would buy our produce. We would buy meat. We would buy rice from the bazaar. And it was a way to spread the wealth, not through charity, but actually supporting the small, you know, the Afghan small business owner, the local. And I thought that was a fantastic way to do things. So I modeled on a smaller scale. When we would go out on a patrol, I would try and buy naan, which is the unleavened flatbread that they have out there. I still get from the grocery store. It's nowhere near as good as the Afghan stuff, but I still love my naan.
Yeah.
But try and do that on a mission just to let people know that we're not these robots and that, you know, we're not taking things for free and we want to see them succeed. And, you know, in the end, I don't know. We were talking last night. I don't know what impact I had, but, you know, if we change one single person, you know, it might not be worth the investment we had in lives and money and everything. But my time there wasn't wasted if I helped one person see that there is more to life than what we have here and they moved on to something better.
Yeah, we were talking about that last night because you asked me a really good question, which is, and if you don't want to talk about any of this stuff while we're on the mic, just don't feel like you have to, but we were talking about this because, you know, when the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan played out and, you know, a lot of veterans were talking to each other, a lot of people really struggled with what they were seeing. And you asked me, you said, hey, what was it like for you? Because I remember driving from, I was in Lewistown, Montana. We actually got a campsite in Yellowstone National Park. So one of my sons and I are driving the camper from Lewistown to meet the rest of the family down in Yellowstone. And I remember driving and hearing this play out, and Bongino's doing the play-by-play because he sees exactly what's about to happen. And even as NBC News is saying, oh, no, everything's fine, friend. No. He's like, Kabul is falling. I'm telling you, it is falling. And it's like, my goodness. But I think I told you last night, I was like, man, if I would have asked any of my soldiers back in 2009, hey, you know, what do you think about it? They would have told you in 2009 that like, what's going on here? They would not have been surprised that it eventually would end in failure. John Jackson, you were there with law enforcement, probably, you know, federal law enforcement, probably a similar deal for you because, you know, like the stupid spreadsheet stuff. It's like, you know, here you have the higher ups that it just seems oftentimes they just wanted to appease the political players in Washington, D.C. Oh, no, everything's good. Look at how great. Look at the improvements here. I mean, you probably saw it on the federal law enforcement side, too.
A child, an eighth grader, would have known not to do what they did. And it's because, as we have talked about everything, that withdrawal from Afghanistan was not managed by the Pentagon or the people on the ground in Afghanistan. It was managed by these 30-something little communist staffers that work for Joe Biden that have no idea what they're doing. They've just got a time frame, and they're going to say, do it now.
Meet the time frame no matter
but
what.
But even then, if you say, do it now, why did they not back up into Bagram? You back up everybody up into Bagram, into a secure place, and go out very slowly out of there. Get them doing it out of the Kabul airport is what caused all of the tragedy and all of the scandal, all of the death.
Well, but even just the overall bureaucracy that just transcended administrations oftentimes, too. But then we also said, like, hey, you know, I remember, you know, we had an incredible medic on our team, and he played a key role in saving this little baby girl's life. And I remember my medic back then saying, you know what, if this is the only thing that we did, he said, I'm going to look back on this and say, you know what, we did something. Because he kind of knew, like,
we can't guarantee how this thing is going to turn out. And so, you know, you can kind of see like, man, you know, we just kept doing the same thing over and over again, and it wasn't working, and yet we kept doing the same thing over and over and over again. But it's like, if this is the one thing we did, and the incredible men that we got to serve with, you know what, it's just something I will never, I will always be incredibly grateful for, serving with those men.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at the sacrifices that those, and I say young men and women, because most of the military are, you know, that's the truth of it. Our junior enlisted are young men and women. And to see 19, 20-year-old kids give up a year or multiple years of their lives to go over there for a commitment, maybe not necessarily to a foreign country, but to their brothers and sisters standing on each side of them, you have to look at that and say, you know, there is a strength there. And if nothing else, each one of them takes home those experiences, and we have to find the little victories in it. And for you and your team, it was saving that little girl's life, and that's a little victory. And, you know, we can't go back and undo what, you know, what tragedies unfolded there, right? So we just have to look. There's two ways we could do it. Or we can sit there individually and say, man, that was awful, and it's going to hurt. And it does hurt. It is awful. But the other way to do it is say, hey, I look back and this positive relationship I had with my brother on deployment, or this positive interaction I had with this little girl, it's going to make me better. And then when I grow through the ranks, I'm not going to make those same mistakes. I'm not going to put soldiers in harm's way for bad decisions, things like that.
Well, we don't know what else is happening. We don't know the ripple effect, the butterfly effect. And it's like, okay, this disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, but really just, you know, it's more than just that. It was just kind of the decades of just this wrongful approach. And John Jackson, back to you. I mean, sometimes you have to see the bad in order to finally start making things good again. And so maybe something like that is what gives the American people the intestinal fortitude to say, okay, wait a minute. Hey, never again. Here's how we're going to move forward. And, you know, especially as we approach the 250th anniversary, how do Americans say, all right, what are we going to do now?
I think that's the two things. Everybody wonders, why does the system despise Donald Trump so much? He's conservative agenda. Why do you have the Republican Party themselves that pretty much despise him? And it's because of that. No more forever wars, right? And no more climate change BS. See, the whole system is built around this forever war nonsense. And that's what got us Iraq and Afghanistan and now Ukraine. How long were you in Vietnam? 10 years? I mean, and that's what Donald Trump has come out and said. We're good. If we have to get in the middle of these things, we're getting in and we're getting out. And that's why he's pushing Israel and Ukraine right now. Do what you got to do, but get it done and we're getting out.
Yeah, it's going to be a commitment. And of course, the Panama stuff in the news right now. I mean, Bill Gertz with the Washington Times was warning people decades ago, hey, this is what's happening. China is on track to be controlling that thing. And now they're jacking up the fees because in China's pocketing the cash. So, yeah, another very and Marco Rubio is apparently already on his way down there for step number one. Okay, another quick break. Stand by.
Upgrade your comfort to Emirates Premium Economy the next time you fly from Seattle. Sink into soft leather seats with raised legrests and adjustable headrests. Elevate your dinner plans with delicious regional dining, all served with complimentary premium drinks. Enjoy endless entertainment with up to 6,500 channels, including live sports. There's no other premium economy like it. Fly Emirates. Fly better.
Fox News commentary.
California may be a sanctuary state, but at least one beach city is sitting that one out. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It is time to take the quiz.
5 days a week, it's five questions in less than 5 minutes. We ask people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
Including the pre-Super Bowl era, what NFL franchise has won the most NFL championships?
I'm going to say the Cowboys.
I guess I would say the Packers.
How'd you do? Exactly. Things get tougher, so hang on.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox. Thank you for taking the quiz.
California is basically under one-party total Democrat rule, and that's why it's failing. But to be fair to the Golden State, there are cities and towns here and there that have not jumped on the dumpster fire express. One of those cities is Huntington Beach in the more conservative area of Orange County. The city council in Huntington voted unanimously to become a non-sanctuary city, ignore the state's sanctuary status, and work with President Trump on his immigration enforcement efforts. Mayor Pat Burns correctly noted the move was done to ensure public safety and added his town will use every facet of law enforcement to achieve that goal. The new rule directs the city's police officers to work with and not obstruct federal immigration authorities and even notify immigration officials when an illegal alien is due to be released from jail. What a concept! California might be a mess, but at least some leaders in the state have the right idea. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Hey, skies remain cloudy across the area today. We'll see some areas of light snow and flurry activity up around an inch possible in the Billings area, up to 2 to 3 for some of the totals towards Bozeman. High temperature readings of from the mid-20s in Bozeman, 33 in Billings. Tonight, scattered snow showers possible, mainly early. Low temperatures ranging from around 5 to 10 above. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.com.
Diet.com today to find out more and reserve your spot at their next seminar. BillingsLastDiet.com. They got a remote option too.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Back to my friend John Woosnam here. You know, I should say, in defense of the guy that was asking me for the stupid spreadsheet while you're in the middle of the night, sitting out there in the middle of nowhere on an IED, somebody was asking him for the stupid spreadsheet, who was asking that guy for the stupid spreadsheet. You know, so it's like, you know, sometimes, like, these guys are just trying to do their jobs, and they got somebody yelling down at them. So if they're asking, so I should just say, in defense of that guy, right?
Right. If he's listening, I just want to say I get it. I apologize that I was terse with you, and I understand now.
Yeah, because it was easy to get a little grumpy when you were out there and be like, oh, come on, man. And it's like, you know, hey, man, we didn't know everything those guys were dealing with, and they got, you know, a bunch of other stuff, you know. And frankly, they'd probably be out there. They'd rather be out there with us than sitting back in the office that they're doing, too. So, yeah, we
100%.
Yeah. So we were talking off air here, John Woosnam. You've got Intelligent Police Solutions now putting your years of detective work together here at the Las Vegas PD and your military training and all to do these training and consulting. And but you were thinking, like, you know, you've done, you know, cruising around in the mountains outside of Vegas, patrol, things like that. But you were thinking about it, man, from a rural perspective, like in Montana, you know, you're far from backup. But yet we've got drug cartels that have invaded the state, especially the rural part, the reservations and more. And then you got day-to-day law enforcement stuff. And yet here you are out there all by your lonesome.
You know, throughout my career, I spent 15 years investigating non-traditional organized crime. And then I was also a crisis negotiator as an adjunct assignment for 17 years. And when I was working out in the rural areas, we had a lot of people come out and they were in crisis, mental health crisis, suicidal. We had some criminal barricades. And just like your Montana law enforcement, my backup, I worked for an agency of nearly 5,000 people, including civilian employees. But out there in the mountains, it was me and maybe a partner or two. So we had to develop smart tactics. You don't have the resources readily available, and it takes time, 45 minutes to an hour, to get more assets out there. So I was asked to put together a class on responding to barricades in a rural or small agency environment. And that was a request from a lieutenant for a police department out in Colorado when I was teaching up there early in January. And I thought, why hadn't anybody done this before? So I'm working on that now. And we take that training across the country. And I said earlier, when we first got here, my obligation is to provide other officers, other deputies, law enforcement professionals with what I know. And I'd love to take my experience from the rural areas, working 2,200 square miles of unincorporated Clark County, and give it to people so they don't have to make the mistakes I made. They don't have to learn the hard way.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, it's been so great catching up with you, and give my best to all the other guys. I know we've all caught up here and there, texting messages and stuff and sharing funny stories, but so great to see you and enjoy that Tatanka. What did you think of the Tatanka cigar, by the way?
So I had that Maduro, and first of all, thank you, and also thank whoever started Tatanka Cigar Company, because I really enjoyed it. It was a nice, smooth smoke.
It's a good cigar, yeah, yeah. Helena, Montana, and, yeah, Ken Weinheimer, he's also a law enforcement veteran and National Guard veteran as well, and he's got a great Capital Club Cigar Lounge in Helena, and then he's a part of some of the other ones as well. John Jackson, the Joker from X. Man, I see you got a whole list of stuff scribbled on your sheet there to talk about. We got another great guy who's going to join us in the next hour of the show, John Fabricatori. He's a retired ICE. He was a field director for Colorado and Wyoming, and I've had him on the show before. He just testified before Congress earlier this week talking about border security and more, and he took the gloves off, apparently, for that.
Excellent.
So looking forward to seeing him here in a second. He's the guy that, you know, you'd think he was in a biker gang, but he's actually, you know, retired Fed. So, yeah. All right. Stand by. We'll be back right after this. And then my friend Travis Taylor out of Whitefish and much more.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
If you're in the forecasting business and you know one of the time-tested ways to recover from making a forecast that turns out to be wrong, make another one. That applies to the weather as well as the stock market, and especially to the economy. Higher interest rates and worsening consumer credit has caused us to predict slowdowns for at least 2 years that didn't materialize. Will this year be any different? Consider the rapid growth that's been unfolding in the two fastest-growing parts of Montana, Flathead and Gallatin counties. The reasons vary, but these high-amenity parts of the state have added jobs and population at a blistering clip in the last few years. Gallatin County added more jobs, 18,000, since 2020 than exist in total in Butte Silver Bow. Now Standard & Poor's, the forecaster used by state government, says the party is ending. Job growth in both Flathead and Gallatin counties will fall to just 1% in 2026 after four straight years of actual job growth of excess of 4%. Will it happen? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.